I went to my grandmother's house one time, and a couple of my cousins were there, and we decided we were going to build a swing in a tree. And I was inside the house, and they ran out there and started, and by the time I got out there, the swing was already hung. And when I got outside, all that was left for me to do was swing on it. I feel that way this afternoon. There's been some beautiful things laid out before us. I could just swing on that gospel swing.
Yeah.
I don't endeavor or in any way I want to try to fix up anything that's been said. Doesn't need any fixing. And I don't know if I'll add to it, but I do have some thoughts. And the Lord being our helper, I believe they're in communion and in harmony with what we've heard this afternoon. I want to start just reading some things that he read that might prove a springboard into what I have on my mind. And I'm at a loss where to start. But in John chapter 13, he read, it said, "Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them." And then he was over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and read, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." In John chapter 1, and where he read for us, he says, "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. That he was that true light that was given to every man that came into this world, and he was in the world, this world that was made by him, and the world knew him not." Now, having that read, I trust those things are still fresh on your mind. But over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'll read this again. It says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Mm-hmm. One thing I noticed when Brother Tony was preaching, and this is something that was probably evident to all of you, and that's that he was speaking to us in English. And we prayed in English, and we sang in English. And we were communicating. We had common language. We had communication. Well, Paul wrote to the Corinthian church in the first letter, in chapter 14, he spoke a little about tongues and how there were those that were speaking in tongues. Mm-hmm. And he says over here, he says, "I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying." You know, preaching the gospel doesn't do any good unless it's understood. These people that were speaking in tongues, and you can read here in the 1 Corinthians chapter 14, where Paul does quite a dissertation on this. It says, in verse 13, it says, "Wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say Amen, at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest?" And having that said, Brother Tony also told us that over there those Egyptians couldn't see that light. They were blinded to that. I think Tony laid a firm groundwork for us this afternoon that there are people who cannot see that light. And as we read over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it said that they were going to preach this gospel. Well, I want to begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I had this on my mind, and I wasn't sure exactly how it was all going to fall in, but I trust that if we'll continue praying, that it'll fall together as the gospel truth of God falls together. Because I trust that I come to you this afternoon, not with my words and not with my wisdom, but the wisdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is that light, that we are reading from the gospel, which is his light, and that more than that we realize that he has placed that light within us. Now, as we you may seem to think, or I guess I would think if I were out there at this point, that all that business about tongues was kind of misplaced. And I want to turn here to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and read in chapter 2 verse 1. It says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Brethren and sister, I want to bring before us this afternoon that Paul preached, and I trust that we preach today, the wisdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That we don't come preaching in the excellency and the manner of men, but that we come speaking spiritual things. Brother Tony said something about how we use natural things to help our natural minds understand spiritual things. But friends, this gospel is a spiritual message. And only those who have been spiritually touched can see that spiritual light, feel the spiritual warmth, and get the spiritual message. And I guess what I'm trying to get out of that, where I talked about speaking in tongues, is they didn't come, these preachers and preachers today preaching the true gospel, don't come preaching this natural word that we might understand with our natural mind. They come and speak unto us a spiritual sermon. A spiritual sermon that is discerned by the Spirit within us. And that the true gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is a spiritual message. And it can only be understood by the spiritual man. And for me, or for anyone to come unto those who do not have the Spirit about them, and try to preach a message that is in essence a spiritual message of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is like preaching in an unknown tongue. This gospel is presented and prepared for those that have been touched by the Spirit of our God in heaven. Yeah. And I trust that we are a congregation that's gathered together today that has been touched by the spiritual quickening of the Holy Spirit. And that indeed we see as we continue in verse 6, it says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." So if we endeavor to learn the things of God, this spiritual knowledge of God, then we must have the capability to understand those things. And this is not a mind knowledge that we come together and reason with our carnal faculties and come to know that there was a man that was 100% God and 100% man, and came and shed his life, shed his blood, laid down his life, and performed for us a reconciliation and an eternal salvation. That's not something that I can receive with my natural workings of this mind and cause it to be fruitful unto me. It's a spiritual thing. We have a spiritual relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the message of and the gospel of His life, I believe, is a spiritual message. And I believe that these preachers that came preaching unto them came preaching the wisdom of God. And, you know, there's a place where it says, if any of you seek wisdom, ask it of God. Well, I believe that wisdom is something that we receive from our God in heaven. Certainly it is not the wisdom of the world that's spoken about here, but it's a wisdom of the power of God. As we read over there in 2 Corinthians, I better go over there so I don't do damage to it. It says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." I believe that for the saint of God, the quickened spirit in the child of God has the ability from the quickening of regeneration to have this light shown unto them. I believe that's the essence of this wisdom, and which is the power of God, which is placed within us, and it's that spirit that is within us crying, Abba, Father. You know, I guess what prompted me to look at this subject is in Luke chapter 7. It says in one place where there's an abundance of man's wisdom going around. In Luke chapter 7, verse 30, it says, "But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. And the Lord said, Whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation, and to what are they like? They are like unto children sitting in the marketplace, and calling one to another, and saying, We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned to you, and ye have not wept." And then here's some of man's logic. It says, and this is Christ speaking, he says, "For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say, He hath a devil. The Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and you say, Behold, a gluttonous man and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners." That's the logic of man for you. They would even defeat the consistency of their own logic in order to condemn this Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They had some problems with their logic here. But what I find is Christ finishes here in verse 35, it says, "But wisdom is justified of all her children." Well, I wondered about that. How is wisdom justified by all her children? And please correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I believe that the wisdom that we're talking about here is the wisdom of God that's placed within us. Not the wisdom of this life, but the wisdom that is placed within us by the power of God. Yeah. And how is that wisdom justified by all of her children? Well, if I can bring my thoughts together, please continue to pray for me and pray for us this afternoon. But that child that has the wisdom of God within him, that Spirit of God that is within us forever crying, Abba, Father. That is something that the world cannot touch. You know, Brother Tony said that we have a candle within us that cannot be dimmed and a candle that doesn't go out. We know as that wisdom is put into the heart of the child of God and it cries, Abba, Father, well, then we glorify our God in heaven. And also over there in John chapter 1, it talks about that light that is put within us and that we have it within an earthen vessel. And certainly, Brother Tony, we've seen times that we know that that light within us doesn't dim. But you know, from the outside, it looks like it might be struggling under the winds of this world. You know, it looks like it's just about to go out. Well, that's times that, for me at least, that this earthen vessel that I have around it has been puffed up so much that it's hiding as much light as it possibly can. And that's a time for me to fall on my knees and realize that I must destroy this carnal flesh, that I must mortify the deeds of this flesh and let that light shine. That there's a light that shines within me that is stronger than anything in this world. It's the light and it's the power of God and it's the wisdom. It's the wisdom that's put within us and it's the wisdom that we recognize that message. It gives us the ability to hear. It gives us those eyes to see and those ears to hear that we see that message that's talked about over here in 1 Corinthians where it says, "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." You know, I know that with this fleshly body, I can't search even the shallow things of God. I certainly can't search the deep things of God. But this Spirit that is within us is not touched by the things of this world. It's not touched by the winds of this world. It's not touched by the evil that surrounds us. But this old flesh around us bears a lot of the marks of the battle that we fight in this life, which I don't believe has anything to do with our eternal home. But as we live in this life, we are taught and we are here, I believe, for a purpose to glorify our God in heaven. That we are made and we are a creation and that we are to give glory to our Creator. Well, we've been given the ability to do that because He has put within us this wisdom. This wisdom that recognizes that message that we see the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, and that He shines. He shines into us and out of us. But that as we have that, and I guess the point that I'm trying to get to is that wisdom is justified of all her children. Well, if we are children of the Heavenly Father and we've been quickened by the Holy Ghost, we have within us a spirit that is crying, Abba, Father. And if that wisdom isn't justified by a soul crying, Abba, Father, to the eternal Heavenly Father, I don't know how you could justify that wisdom. When something's justified, it means it's proven to be just. Well, that wisdom, when that Spirit cries, Abba, Father, that wisdom has been proven. It's been proven that it's effective. It's been proven that it's effectual and that it's active. And friends, I believe that as we are children of wisdom, as we are children of the light of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that there is a light within us that shines far brighter than anything in this world, and by it, wisdom is justified. And I believe, I guess I had some doubts in my mind when I first studied that about how wisdom is justified over children. But I believe that that wisdom that's placed within us, the spirit that's placed within us, it's certainly justified by this flesh that we have. I don't do any justice to the holy gifts that I've been given by my Heavenly Father God through the righteousness of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's nothing in this flesh that does anything good except it be by the hand of God that He permits for us to have any fruitful work in this life. But I believe then that wisdom is justified over children. And then as we are speaking unto children of wisdom, I trust that that's a term we can compress together, and you'll know what I mean when I say the children of wisdom, that we are talking about that family that has been quickened within their soul to hear the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that those children who are children of wisdom, they don't need to hear a message of the carnal things of this life. They don't need to hear things about how that with their hands they can achieve their eternal salvation. What their spirit longs for, what they long for, and what they need to hear from the gospel is the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They need to hear the spiritual message of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Brother Tony, I agree. We are here to bear witness of the light of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But you know, as the ministry may do that publicly and in trying to preach the gospel and be a vessel through which God pours His gospel, I tell you this afternoon that each and every one of the quickened children of God bear within them the light of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that we are to bear witness of that light. That your life is an opportunity in this world to crucify the deeds of this flesh and to become as holy of that inner man as you can. And that I trust as we spoke here last week or a week before, that we realize that God does not give us a commandment that we cannot fulfill, that if He calls us to do something, He gives us the grace and the mercy wherein to do it. And that He is not, that we have a reasonable God, that He would not call us to do something in this life that would achieve our eternal salvation when He knows and He has caused us to know that we have not that ability. But friends, we are to bear witness of the light in this world. And here I trust that as we continue in the preaching of the gospel, that we remember that Paul was not just a good preacher, but that Paul was a preacher of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, touched by the very hand of God. And that through him, the true wisdom of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was preached. Now, I'm not trying to edify Paul above any others that have been called to preach the gospel in this life, but rather use him as an example here in the 1 Corinthians to show that he spoke unto them the manner of his preaching. He said, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught." So that wisdom that we might have in this flesh, that I so often have clung on to pretty tightly, what little wisdom I think I've accumulated in this life. Friends, I don't believe that the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ necessarily brings wisdom unto you. I believe that wisdom this wisdom that's put within us is a wisdom that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God, that He is our Savior and our Redeemer, and that through the gospel comes the knowledge. Just as it said over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let me turn there. It says in both these places, verse 4 and verse 6, it says, "Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ..." And then in verse 6 it says, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ, in Him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And I believe and I trust that you believe that as He sits on the right hand of God today, that certainly in Him is the fullness of the Godhead bodily still. And friends, I trust that we will come to a place where we will be joint and joint heirs with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we will have a body made like unto His, and then and only then will these bodies be able to show forth the thing that our spirit has been crying all of our lives since the point of regeneration. That is that the bodies that have been changed to an uncorruptible and undefiled manner, that have been made unto the likeness of the Son of God, can then shout praises acceptable to God. You know, as we praise God this afternoon, I believe it requires the mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to say, "I believe, forgive them, God, for they know not what they do." That in times of weakness, I may say something that would be an offense to the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. that sometimes in our gospel life we might believe something that would be amiss. That requires the mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to say they have not learned perfectly the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But friends, I trust there will come a day when there will be no hindrance to us worshiping our God in perfect eternity with all the knowledge, truth, and gospel light that is within the very Spirit today. You know, Brother Hewlin spoke this morning about the Spirit that is within us and how that... see if I can pull it together. I don't want to do damage to what you said this morning either. But how that the Spirit within us is at the judgment seat of faces the judgment of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I'll let you explain to me more perfectly what you said. But I believe what you said. I think it was clear this morning. I don't want to mess it up. But what I believe is that this Spirit that is within us does not sin. It cannot commit sin. Amen. And that as it does not commit sin, it doesn't come under the judgment of God. It is the work and the power of God, the wisdom of God put within us. And that soul, that Spirit of the elect family of God, does not come under condemnation. It isn't required to come before the justice of the throne of God, because it is the very power of God flowed into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. I trust I didn't get anybody as confused as I am. But friends, as we, goodness, that went fast. I apologize, but as we close this afternoon, I guess what I want to say is that we are a people quickened by the Holy Spirit. We have the very wisdom of our God, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, placed within us at the point of regeneration. And that gives us the ability, the desire, and the longing to hear and worship the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You don't need to hear the message that the world has. We don't need to be jealous of the things that the world has, because they have a very carnal message for the people out there. I feel pity and sorrow for the people that have to come under that and hear that they have to accomplish something in the flesh to achieve an eternal salvation. Friends, we don't need to long after that. We don't need to long after their devices. We don't have to long after their stained glass windows or their fancy carpet. But what we know is that we have within us the power of God, and that we know, as it says over here in 2 Corinthians, it says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, you know, He has permitted us to know that we were in darkness. That we were in darkness with no hope of light, but that He caused light to shine out of darkness. I believe when He put that light within our soul, that was light shining out of darkness. Our soul was dead. It was a cold stone, but our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, through His finished and eternal work, made it an eternal offering, a perfect offering unto God. And I want to go over here to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and read just a few thoughts that Paul wrote to the young preacher Timothy, beginning in verse 7. It says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Those are gifts that God has given us, and I believe those gifts are given that we might exercise them in studying and living within the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That He has given us those gifts. It says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." That's how we become partakers of the affliction of the gospel. Yeah. It's not that we see ourselves as a martyr and we want to achieve some fame among the Primitive Baptists as one that received affliction in the flesh for the gospel's sake. It's because of the power of God that He's put within us, that we are not longing for persecution for the gospel's sake, but we are willing to endure it, that we won't trade or sell off this gospel that's been delivered unto our hearts. It says, "Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." You know, I believe that those gifts were given unto us in Jesus Christ before the world began, but that this spirit of regeneration was given unto us in this time world at the very bidding and the purpose of God. That it's not something I can time or coordinate with my timely schedule, but it's something that happens under God's will to all of His elect family, that they will be able to hear, that they have within them, regardless of whether they ever hear the gospel preached, they have within them the Spirit of God crying, "Abba, Father." That's all that is required, that the Spirit is crying, "Abba, Father." That makes you a child of wisdom. That makes you a child of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we don't do anything to achieve or accept or come into the graces to receive that. It says verse 10, "But is now made manifest," and here I see the gospel. It says, "But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Once again, we see that light that Brother Tony spoke about. We see that the gospel has a light about it. What it does, you know, there's something interesting about light and darkness. If you take a room that's dark and you light a flashlight, you can pump as much darkness as you want in there and it doesn't affect that light. But friends, you can pump more and more light in there and it will illuminate things. It will reveal things. You can add as much darkness into a room as you want. It has no effect on the light. Light will overcome darkness. And light is the power. And the power is of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is that light. Says, is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. He is the light of this world. He shines forth to us, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light. Those things existed. Life and immortality are there. They're there because of the quickening of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit in regeneration. But it brings it to light. It brings it to our mind. It reveals it. It's there, but it's darkness to us until it's revealed by the gospel preached, by the preacher sent, by the grace of our God. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I offer suffer for these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. It says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. The only way to hold the things that you hear, you know, because of the nature of man, we hear the gospel through natural ears. But there's only one way that that gospel can make it from your ears to your heart, and that's the power and the faith and the love which is in Christ Jesus. I trust that that's the mode that we worship in today. That we realize that it is the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which not only saved us eternally, but gives us the ability, the desire, the unction, and the love for our God in heaven. The desire that's brought us all out of our individual walks today and brought us into the blessed congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And may that be our prayer forevermore.
During the noon hour, I was sitting at the table, and I was thinking about the wonderful different subjects of the Bible, and how much research and intense study that I've done in the past, and various subjects. And I made the statement. I said, I've often wished that I had the strength, the wisdom, the knowledge, and the ability, and the energy. And a congregation that was praying and had a hearing ear to listen till I could totally exhaust a subject in the Bible. Brother John said, that wouldn't be the only thing exhausted. If you totally covered any one subject in the Bible, you had the wisdom to do it, I promise you, the flesh would be exhausted before you got through with it. Just remember that. Now, having said that, I've got to buy about 2 minutes from you if you'll let me have it. Moses came down off Mount Sinai after taking the laws from God for 40 days and 40 nights. And it said that Moses... This is Exodus 34, verse 29. And when Moses came down from the mountain, that Moses wist not, that means he didn't know, didn't realize this, that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when he come into the presence of the children of Israel, he had to put a veil over his face because they couldn't even look at him because he'd been in the very presence of that light. And that the skin of Moses' face shone. Every time he come into their presence, he had to put that veil over his face. Now, let's say I take one of these strong 5-cell flashlights, or if you really want to get strong with it, get you one of these here spotlights that you can plug into your 12-volt system in your car. Or better still, one of these beacon lights. You get our candle, and you shine that light in a dark night. That thing is illuminated and seen for hundreds of miles. Yet, when the sun comes up, Jackie and I have left on trips when it's still dark, the headlights of the car, pitch dark. and we drive through dawning and the sunrise, and pretty soon the sun's up, and eventually you can't even tell you got your car lights on. Now that's the same way it is with the gospel. The gospel is a shining light in a dark world. In John 3:18, it said, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And they will not come to light because light is a condemnation to them. In John 5:34 and 35, speaking of John the Baptist, that first one that came to bear witness of the light, it says he was a burning and a shining light. Speaking of John the Baptist. And ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John. 1 Peter 1:19 says, when the day dawns and the day star arises in your heart. 22:16 of Revelation, he says that he is the bright and morning star. Malachi 4:2 says, but they that fear the Lord, the Son of Righteousness shall rise in their hearts. Did you know when Jesus Christ comes, the very light, when he was on this earth, he said, as long as you have the light, I am the light of the world, and the day, while you have light, and I'm here. In fact, I'm going to turn and read that to you. John 9, in verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. But he went back to glory. Now watch this. Where's the light? He's in heaven. I mean, when you're around him, you get close to him, just the radiation that lit you up. But he's not here now. But he called ministers, just like Moses. When he got in close to the Lord, that minister is illuminated with the light from that light. And that minister, that's a spirit. And that's the way you see that minister. Does that minister have his own light? No. It's reflected off of that light. Just like the moon is a reflection from the sun. Reflected light. And when Jesus Christ comes back on this earth someday, the day star is going to rise. The night's going to flee away. The bright and morning star will be here. And that light is so bright till you can't even tell that you got that flashlight on. That gospel light that's so needed now. When he comes, you might as well turn your flashlight off, because the gospel light is not needed anymore. We will be in the presence of that light itself. What a wonderful subject. What a wonderful day. We're going to sing a hymn. Be one here that wants to unite with the church. We're going to give you that privilege. Ask these two brothers to stand down here and you give them the right hand of fellowship. What a wonderful, wonderful spiritual day we've had. It's been wonderful to be back with Bethel Church this day.